Agenda item number seven, Jeffrey Paxton.
Mr. Paxton is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain an existing oversized pier that encroaches over approximately 800 square feet of state-owned submerged land. He's also requesting authorization to construct 32-foot-wide by 41-foot-long open-sided roof over two existing boat lifts and existing pier decking, as well as to construct four mooring piles adjacent to his property at 34 Jansen Drive, situated along Drum Point Creek in Chesapeake. This project site is indicated by the green marker. Drum Point Creek is a small tributary that empties into the western branch of the Elizabeth River. This is Mr. Paxton's pier. The majority of the existing pier, which includes a 12-foot wide by 40-foot long T-head platform, predated 2003. And the reason this is important is because during the 2003 legislative session, Chapter 234 of the Acts of Assembly was passed, and 28.2-1203 of the Code of Virginia was amended. And the amendment established the maximum size for a pier width and for finger piers, as well as a maximum square footage for platforms and floating appurtenances for private piers that are authorized by statute. So this maximum square footage is currently 400 square feet. Mr. Paxton is now requesting authorization to construct a roof over the existing decking, as well as his two boat slips. You can see that here. It's 32 feet wide by 41 feet long. He's also proposing to construct four additional mooring piles. This would have exceeded the statutory authorization for roof structures, so this would have required a permit anyway. That being said, once we received the application in October of 2014, let me back up quickly. This is a cross section of the boathouse structure. You can see it will extend approximately 15 feet above the existing pier decking. While we were reviewing the application, we noted that there were some pier-related improvements that occurred between 2006 and 2010. This is what the pier looked like on the left in 2002. And then 2006 in the middle, and you can see by April of 2010, there was an additional section of platform that was added. This is 10 by 12, and there was a floating dock that was also added, and this is a drive-on personal watercraft lift here. Back in 1999, we did issue a no permit necessary letter for Mr. Paxton for a proposed pier, as well as for a riprap revetment to stabilize his eroding shoreline. But since that time, there were no additional applications that were submitted for the pier-related improvements. And according to Mr. Bob Simon, who is the agent on the application, he's with Waterfront Consulting Incorporated, Mr. Paxton was not aware that he needed a permit for the additional work that had been constructed on the pier. We completed the public interest review, including running an ad in the paper, as well as notifying the adjacent property owners, and we didn't receive any concerns regarding the proposal. This is a shot of Mr. Paxton's pier looking out. This section in here is the additional decking that was added. And this is the floating dock, and you can see the personal watercraft lift in this location. This is another shot of the other side of the pier. And there are two jet ski lifts in addition to the boat lifts, and I believe they're located over here. Staff is primarily concerned with the overall size of the existing pier and associated structures with which far exceed the 400-square-foot maximum that's currently authorized by statute. The majority of the decking space, which includes the 12-foot-wide by 40-foot-long T-head platform and the associated boat lifts, did exist prior to 2003 when the initial legislation was passed that specified the size restrictions on the platforms and appurtenant floating structures. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the proposed open-sided roof structure and mooring piles. We are, however, concerned about the additional encroachment resulting from the deck extension and floating structures over state-owned submerged land, and the extent to which they are necessary in addition to the previously existing structures that are supporting water-dependent activities and access. As such, we recommend denial of the after-the-fact request to retain the 10-foot by 12-foot deck extension and a 6-foot by 24-foot long floating dock with gangway access, an associated 5-foot by 16-foot L-head feature, and drive-on personal watercraft lift that are located at the end of the previously existing T-head and adjacent finger pier. Should the Commission wish to consider allowing Mr. Paxton to retain these structures, we recommend removal of the northernmost finger pier and 10-foot by 12-foot deck extension and replacement with the floating dock and associated appurtenances to include the drive-on watercraft lift. Should the Commission authorize the retention or relocation of the floating pier and drive-on watercraft lift, staff recommends a triple permit fee of $300 and a $1,000 civil charge based upon a minor degree of deviation and a minimal degree of impact associated with the previously unauthorized structures. So I tried to illustrate that with this picture. Our recommendation is in part to remove this finger pier as well as the additional 10-foot by 12-foot decking space, and to relocate the floating structures here, essentially to replace this finger pier in this location. Mr. Simon is here. Mr. Paxton is also here today.
Thank you, Justine. Are there any questions from the Commission? Thank you. The applicant is present or represented? Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your names for the record.
Robert Simon, Waterfront Consulting, is representing Mr. Paxton on this application.
My name is Jeffrey Allen Paxton.
Mr. Simon, what happened here?
Well, Justine did a wonderful job with the presentation, but I think there's one thing that we may have had a miscommunication on. Mr. Paxton purchased the property in 1998. Immediately put in an application to riprap the property and put in a pier, which was done. Mr. Paxton didn't personally get involved with that, though. Mr. Paxton runs a construction company and gave that job to a foreman and then a contractor to take care of it. And all that went smoothly without any problems. The pier was put in, the riprap was placed. About 2008, Mr. Paxton's mother came to live with them who had handicap issues or access issues. And he asked the same person to go ahead and get a permit to put the float in. He did not take part in that and thought it was all taken care of. That floating section has been in since 2008, I believe is what you said. 2014, Mr. Paxton comes to me and says, I'd like to put a roof over the structure now. And we started doing the survey and the applications on it, and we brought it to BMRC's attention. Hey, we've got more pier out there than we can find permits for. Mr. Paxton was not aware that the permits had not been secured on this. Rather than try and remove the float so it's not there at the time of application. I said, let's bring everything into compliance. And Mr. Paxson wholeheartedly agreed. He said, we don't operate that way. We want everything brought into compliance out here. So we did everything with the application. We measured everything. We brought it to VMRC's attention. At this point now, the pier has been in there since 2008. None of the neighbors are objecting. It's not a navigation issue. Mr. Paxson has got quite used to using the access for the floating portion to get on and off the boats. Let Mr. Paxson address the issue that his wife's about to have surgery as well, and that the float actually is more important to him than the roof at this point. And we would ask the board to consider allowing us to keep the structures as they are. We accept the point that there will be a civil penalty and triple permit fees. Really would like to keep the structures the way they are out there. I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
I'm guessing there are some. Questions from the commission? I stand corrected. Mr. Paxson, is there anything else you can add to this?
Sir, we're a contractor from the Tidewater area. I do a lot of excavation work, pull permits, DEQ permits, wetlands permits, did a lot of wetland banks and so forth. Very familiar with the wetlands laws and so forth. I've been in business 25 years. I would not, absolutely not, do this with an understanding of not having a permit. We are an outstanding contractor in the area. We hold a very high standard working in these kind of conditions. I would never do this without having a permit and being legit. We have had several cases that we have been in front of the board and so forth, doing the right things and so forth. Not no trouble actions, but we're acclimated to working in the wetlands, and so forth. We also have two sand pits that we excavate material out of. We know the importance of the wetlands, the species of the wetlands, and so forth. I would never have done this without having a permit. I was under the assumption that my employee pulled a permit due to my mother getting sick and becoming handicapped. That's the decision we made to put the floating dock in. Since then, my wife's had back surgery. Her back's been very bad off. It's very easy for us to get in and out of the boat. Now she's got to have knee surgery. So the floating dock is very important to us. And if we had to give something up to not put the roof on or the mooring pals or whatever, we would just like to be able to keep things the way they are, since it's not a problem with the adjacent owners and so forth. But I understand we're in the wrong as well. We'd like to make it right, and I take responsibility for actions that stay in place. And I'm sorry.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Paxson, so I understand from your representative that the floating structure has not been an issue with your neighbors. What about the proposed roof structure? Has that been an issue?
Neither one of the neighbors responded to our letters notifying them. VMRC also notified them, and there was a news ad run, and we've never heard any communication from either of the neighbors.
Okay, thank you.
That was going to be my question.
Very well.
I have a very good relationship with both of my neighbors, and they both have come and talked to me about that, and they have gotten the certified letter.
So, okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this project? Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to this project? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. And the matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Zedra.
I think it's important that we recognize the fact that this is a self-reporting kind of situation here, is that this is not a complaint where a neighbor, observed a structure or something wrong and made a complaint to VMRC. These gentlemen come straight forward to the commission and say, hey, look, we know this, that, and the other. Now we want to make it right. And I think that's very important. I think that the message that we need to send out is that what we want done. And I think that by assessing the civil penalty and the triple fees, the applications will wrap it up and make it appropriate. So at the appropriate time, I would move that we approve the whole existing system, not staff recommendations, because they're part this way and part that way. But my motion is going to be to approve the entire project as it is at appropriate time.
Mr. Ballard.
I'd like to hear from staff as to whether Justine concurs kind of with the assessment that they came forward and admitted that they couldn't find the proper permits, or whether that was something you guys uncovered, as well as if this wasn't an active after-the-fact permit, what your opinion on it would be if this were completely new construction.
To address the first part of your question, I think by submitting the application with all of the dimensions that were provided, I think there was probably no question, especially on Mr. Simon's part, that, you know, we would be looking at the size of the pier. To answer your second question, in cases like this, staff doesn't get the opportunity before the work has been constructed to meet with the applicant and their agent or contractor to propose changes or modifications that would have improved the overall, that would have achieved the overall purpose but also minimized the encroachment. So that's what led us to our staff recommendation, and which is also consistent with what we have recommended in the past for oversized piers, which have come to us. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Paxson, I have a question. I have a couple of questions. Apparently, these additions were done in two phases, apparently 2006 and 2010. I mean, these are extensive modifications to the original pier. I made a couple jet ski lifts here, deck extension, floating. Have you gotten a lesson here that you need to make sure that all the permits are absolutely in hand here and not take the assumption that somebody who's an employee on your behalf has done it?
Yes, sir, I understand. And as far as the two jet ski lifts, they were installed on the first application in 1999. Okay. The floating dock was constructed in 08. So I think you're saying that you thought it was two different.
I may have the dates wrong. Okay.
Yes, sir.
But gotcha.
It was only one modification taking place after the fact of the 99 permit.
Thank you for clarifying that. Any other questions from the commission? Public hearing, let me ask again, is there anybody in favor or against this project who wishes to be heard? Okay, last call. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Zedrin.
I move that we approve the project just as it exists and assess the $1,000 civil penalty and the triple application assessment of how much was that?
$300.
And $300.
It's a motion by Mr. Zedron. Does everybody understand the motion? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye as well here. Motion passes. Project's approved.